This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are back for not just one support race, but three this weekend as we kick off the first leg of the European triple header. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia, and joining me back again, it's Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Very well, thank you. I say that like we haven't just been chatting for 15 minutes before pressing record, but there we go.
A little catch up because it's been a while for sure.
Yeah, limit,
yeah. Yeah, and apologize as well if you've missed our Monaco review. That was in the works, but unfortunately life kind of got in the way currently. However, we are back to preview this start of the triple header taking place in Barcelona this weekend. But before we get into this episode, we must thank our sponsor, which is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every match, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to their online casino to get in on a game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of the 150 slot games available to play. Head to the website to get in on all the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that is B-E-A-B, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And also make sure you're following us on all social media channels at GridTalk UK to stay up to date with this show and also our sister show, GridTalk, which covers everything F1 related. So yeah, we're back. We're racing Barcelona. It is one of the more, I guess, iconic, known to most drivers because of testings, and even in lower junior series, F4s and all the regionals do also race there. And a lot of times, those that are related to the F1 teams also do a lot of the testing there as well. So it should be interesting, but let's run through some of the stats as well. So F2's been racing there since the beginning, since 2017. It is 26 laps for the sprint race and 37 laps for the feature race. Currently, the fastest lap is held by Ollie Bearman, which was set last year with a 123.546. Looking at last year's historical information, Ollie Bearman actually took the pole with the fastest time, hence obviously setting the new record. And then on reverse pole is Emery Cordiel as well. In the sprint race, it was Frederick Vesti that took the top spot, followed by Theo Pourchaire in P2 and Victor Martins in P3. In the feature race, Ollie was able to convert the pole to win, which is pretty much quite common when it comes to racing in Barcelona, with Enzo Fittipaldi P2 and Victor Martins P3. Now, some of those drivers are still racing in F2, but let's look at the top five in the standings currently after the first five rounds of the F2 season. Paul Aaron is still currently leading with 80 points, followed by Isaac Ashar with 78 points. Zane Maloney is trailing just slightly out with 69 points. Fourth is Dennis Hauger with 56. And then rounding out the top five is Gabriel Bartoletto with 50. Now, Barcelona, again, it's an iconic track. People are testing there quite often. I know the F2, F3, and F1 Academy drivers have also been testing there this season and in previous seasons as well. So definitely, if you're a rookie, even the Freca drivers of Kimi Antonelli and Josh Dickinson, they will know this track very easily as well. Maybe not as easy compared to the drivers who are very used to it. But Tom, what's your take on it? What are you thinking the race is going to be? Is it going to be interesting? What's your predictions for it?
I mean, Barcelona, ever since they did the change to the layout, you know, obviously getting rid of that last chicane and speeding up that whole last sector, I do feel like it helped, you know, and, you know, the junior series usually are a bit more sort of entertaining anyway. I mean, you know, we'll get into predictions later on, but she's smirking already, everyone, because she knows this. She's got me over a barrel with those. But no, I think it might add a bit of a, yeah, I think we could maybe see a bit of spice going on in this weekend. You know, we could see perhaps a slightly unexpected pole position, or, you know, maybe not a pole position, but perhaps a reverse pole. Well, that doesn't really count because that just means you came 8th or 10th or 12th in main qualifying, so actually ignore that. I think, you know, maybe more of a sprint race, we might see, like, perhaps a surprise podium, you know, someone who's perhaps not at the front of the grid so much, someone who's perhaps maybe a bit further back. You know, I don't really know who that would be, to be honest. And maybe someone like Rafael Villagomez. I don't know, it's hard to say, because it seems like almost everyone's had a podium this season. But you know, it's just, you know, you have your front-running drivers in teams, so your ARTs, your Premers, you know, dams back in the day. Not so much at the minute. Obviously, they're called Lucas Oil Dam, I think, at the minute. And obviously, Carlin, which has become, you know, Carlin Rodin, or now Rodin. And then, you know, I think the circuit is quite heavy on tyres. There aren't that many heavy braking zones. You know, so it's very much a sort of rhythm circuit. I think if a driver maybe pushes a bit too hard, if they dip a wheel in the gravel, because obviously there's a lot of gravel around here, we could see something. You know, we might see like a bit of a sort of surprise that way. As for, you know, sort of as for what the weekend will give us, I'll be honest, I don't want to be one of these. I don't think it's going to give us the best sort of like out-and-out racing. Spain, you know, it can do. And, you know, never say never with these young drivers in F2, but I'm just remaining a little bit apprehensive.
Yeah, I mean, it is, again, it's an iconic track. It's known, but it's never been kind of known for producing a lot when it came to actual racing. However, I was just double-checking what happened last year. This was actually one of the races where we had the most time penalty given to a single driver in the entire race of the season of 2023. In the feature race, Brad Penavenez was received a 45-second time penalty for the amount of track limit violations he accumulated in the feature race. He then was also given a 20-second time penalty for failing to serve the original penalty correctly. There's a few other ones that also had 5-second penalties due to track limits or speeding in the pit lane, a few also due to causing collisions in the sprint race. So there was a lot that went on in both the sprint and feature, but most of it was just stupid mistakes. So who knows? Maybe that could be another bold when we go into it for talking about the F2 predictions. But I mean, Let's go into it then, actually. Tom, what is your F2 bold pole and podium predictions for this weekend in Barcelona?
My bold prediction is no safety cars or red flags in either of the races. That is bold. That's very bold. That's almost stupid because it's F2. Something's going to happen. And I'm not, qualifying and practice, if one happens, that's fine. In the race, it's a fairly wide circuit in most parts, so... No. Hopefully they can behave somewhat. My poll, I'm going to say... Behrmann obviously did well last year, and I'm a big fan of Behrmann. I'd like to see Santinelli do well, but he just hasn't really set it alight this year. Even though Mercedes, he's the second coming of Christ or something. I don't know. I'm going to say same Maloney. He had a really good start to the season. I know he's not top of the standings at the moment, but I think this could be his sort of semi-redemption arc this weekend. He's been around here before. He knows what he's doing. He's a good driver. He was in good form earlier this season. I think as we saw the sort of European rounds, he's going to be reinvigorated and he's going to take the ball by the horn, so to speak. And that's not a pun because we're in Spain, although I realised that was certainly even by my standards. Just thank the Lord he's not wearing a red cape when he gets in the car. There we go. You've missed me, Soph. So as for the podiums, I think the feature race, I think Maloney will hold on to the win. I think he could be joined by, I'm going to back Ollie Behrmann just because I'm a bit of a fanboy, even though I'm 10 years older than him, which is depressing. And then I'm going to say, Fittipaldi, P3, because he's had some good races. Obviously, he's finally won a race, probably that duck in Saudi, I think it was. I've got belief. As for the sprint, I'll just put some names in a hand. We'll see what happens because anything could happen. So I'm going to go Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a teacher by his toe. We're going to say Chris Miney, Gabriel Bortoleto, and Amri Cordiel.
Okay. Fair enough. Amri Cordiel definitely took the reverse pole last year and he was involved in a collision, hence why he did not win from pole. So what could have been, maybe his this year will be his redemption of it. Okay, interesting. I think my bold will be that there'll be no time violations given to any driver in either of the race. Again, with track limits, it is possible. It's going to be interesting to see, but I say no time penalties given at any point. Grid penalties are a different story, but actual 5-second, 10-second, or in Brad's case, 45-second does count for my bold prediction. Paul, I think Pepe Marti actually will do well. He did very well in Formula 3, and we'll discuss it actually when we preview in a couple minutes the Formula 3 round, because he did very well historically last season when he was racing Formula 3. So I'm going to give Pepe Marti pole, Spaniard as well, driving for a Spanish team managed by a Spaniard of Fernando Alonso. So who knows? For podium for the feature, I think he will convert the pole. It's very common that pole converts into the to the win for the top step. Joining him, P2, I'm going to say Zay Maloney. P3, I am going to say Paul Aaron as well. He's been doing quite well with Formula E, and he's been doing some testing, so be good to see. In sprint, I think Franco Colapinto will take the top spot. Again, he has been quite a good driver coming into these last couple rounds. To Chris Miney, similar to you, but again, he is quite consistent, albeit last round in Monte Carlo was the first time he never scored any points in the whole race weekend, but he is always consistently getting at least one or two points in a weekend, if not finishing in podium spaces. Rounding out the podium, I say Isaac Hadjar as well will take P3. So yeah, that is the Formula 2 preview. We're going on it quite quick because we got a lot to cover, especially with F1 Academy in this episode. But yeah, so Formula 3, well, actually, I'll go back into Formula 2 as well. It's the same format as always. Free practice and qualifying taking place on the Friday. Sprint race will be Saturday midday. If you're in the UK, it'll be about 1 o'clock time. And then the feature race will take place around 10:30 on Sunday, if you are listening from the UK. In Formula 3, again, they have pretty much raced since the start. So Formula 3 started later than Formula 2. So they started in 2019. They've been racing since 2019. The sprint race will be 21 laps, and then the feature race will be 25 laps. Currently, the fastest lap is held by Pepe Marti. That was set last year in the Campos with a 127.587. again, similar format, practice and qualifying on the Friday. Sprint will be probably around 9:30 in the morning if you're listening in the UK on the Saturday. And the feature race will be at 9 in the morning on the Sunday. Previous pole was Pepe Marti, hence obviously setting the track record. And then on the reverse pole was Zach O'Sullivan, which is someone we didn't speak about in F2, which could be the surprise of F2 this weekend. In the sprint race, Zach was actually able to convert the reverse pole to the win, with Luke Browning in P2 and Leonardo Fornaroli P3. Feature race, Pepe Marti again converted the pole to the win to take the top step. Wow, it's been a while. And then Franco Colapinto, who I've mentioned will do well in F2 this weekend, finished P2, and Dino Boganovic in P3. Looking at the top five, actually, I'm going to do the top seven for the standings because they are quite close for the Formula 3 Championship. They, after Barcelona as well, they will be halfway through their calendar season as well. So this is very much a turning point when we go back to pretty much all European legs for the F3 calendar. Bahrain currently leads with 72 points. Luke Browning in P2 with 68 points. Leonardo Fornaroli with 64 points. Dino Boganovic, 58. Fifth, Arvid Lindblad with 44. And then tied for sixth with 43 points, which is just off of 1 point off from P5, is Oliver Guther and Tim Chamitz. So it very much is anyone's game. And it's quite interesting that a lot of these are rookies as well. Some of them are quite high up in the standing. So again, rookies are actually showing the skill in racing in Formula 3 and stepping up from your formula for any of the F4 regional that they did last season. So be a quite a good, interesting weekend for sure for Formula 3. Tom, what are you expecting? And also, what are your predictions?
I mean, you said it yourself, F3 is wide open. There are so many unknowns. You know, I think part of the issue isn't the right word, because it's not an issue at all. But part of the sort of reason for this, if you like, is we had, five drivers go up to F2, I think, four or five drivers. And then we got some who were on the grid who were there last year, but we've then got quite a few new faces this year. So, again, it's a circuit that any driver who's grown up on the European circuit, karting, and like you said, Freca or, Formula Alpine or Formula Renault or Formula, internal combustion go bang because Alpines always break down. That's a Le Mans reference. You look so annoyed already. I really don't know, to be honest. I would back someone like Boganovic or Gabriel Mini because obviously they were in F3 last year. They raced around here, so they know what they're doing. Someone like Fornaroli, again, to back him. But then you've got people like Christian Mansell, whilst, not absolutely setting the world on fire, sort of just getting some results when he needs to, not getting podiums, regularly, all that kind of thing. But, doing all right, that sounds like I'm doing him a real disservice. It's really hard to say. I think for the, getting into actual predictions, I think for pole position, I'm going to say Gabriel Mini. And I think Gabriel Mini is then going to win. And I think he'll be joined on the podium by Luke Browning. And I'm going to back Dino Boganovic. As for the sprint race, I'm going to say... it's so open, that's the thing. I'm going to put something out. So I'm going to say Olli Guther is going to win the sprint race. And I'm going to say... But by this point, I don't know. I'll tell you what, let's have a sort of unexpected one. Let's say Arvid Lindblad, because he won either the sprint or the feature in Bahrain. I can't remember offhand. I know it's one of them. Let's say him on the podium, and then, for third, like I did with FC, we'll just have to do a lucky dip by this point. Let's say, Nikita Bedrin, because he's been doing all right. But, like I said, it could be anybody's game.
Yeah, Formula 3's pretty much, it's a mixed bag. You don't know. I mean, looking at it as well, because I've just kind of double-checked everything, pretty much the top six have scored points in at least one part of a race weekend every single round so far. And there's a few other ones who are like very, very close to have done it as well, or have done it but just not gotten enough points to move up the standings. Lawrence Van Halpen, to take an example, where he scored points every single, but he's currently P10 tied for 10th with only 30 points. So it's interesting. But yeah, I mean, again, I've done these predictions quite a lot with Formula 3, obviously even last season as well. You just don't know what to expect. But I mean, it makes a great clickbait and a good bet for the end of the season as well to see who was actually the most correct in a very unpredictable field. So you know me, I want to keep a record. I want to be the winner of that because why not? But yeah, I mean, my predictions, I will say pole. I say Oliver Goethe will take pole. I think my bold is, so there was a driver change that took place in Monaco due to one of the drivers having an appendicitis, I believe. I believe that he is back racing in Barcelona. I've not seen anything change. So currently, and this relates to my bold, is because there's currently 7 drivers who do not have points. 8 drivers, sorry, that do not have points at all in the standings. My bold is that one of those 8, probably only the 7, if the driver is returning back after his appendix surgery, I say one of the 7 will get points in the race weekend, whether it could be pole, it could be the sprint, it could be the feature. A single point will count in my eyes. So yeah, that is Callum Boyson, Tommy Smith, Sophia Flourish, Matias Zagatetta. I really am butchering these names again. Josh Dufra, Kieran Shields, Peter Wisniewski, and I would say it's Josh Henley. And, oh, this is so bad. Panisville Interest. I'm really, really bad. I am so sorry I'm pronouncing. I will get that's back to this.
That's a problem with some of the names. Is they're so...
The Thai driver.
Struggle, yeah.
It's been a while. We've not had F2 and F3 racing for a little bit. It's a triple header. They will be mentioned quite a lot as well, like a lot of these drivers. So I'm just getting back into my rhythm while we kick off this triple header. But yep, one of those 7 to 8 drivers will get a single point. That is my bold prediction. Podium for the sprint, I think it will be Tim Tramitz will take the top because he will get reverse pole. I think P2 will be Lawrence Van Hopen, and P3... Noel Leon will take P3. For the feature race, I think Oliver Goethe will convert the pole to the win. I think Mary Boyer at a home race will take P2 because he was very close last season. And then I will say Dina Boganovic P3. So top 2 in the standings are not in my podium predictions. Again, that could be a bold, but it's Barcelona, again, it's not a difficult track. It's a very known track. It's not gonna, like you said, light the world on fire with its driver skills. It's just who can actually put the foot down and not make mistakes that end track and make sure there's no track limits or any issues at the start of the races, so or restarts if there is safety cars. So that's mine. We'll see. But again, it's very much a mix when it comes to Formula 3. And finally, again, like I said, there's 3 support races. F1 Academy is finally back after racing back in May, beginning of May in Miami. This is round 3 out of 7, so pretty much halfway through their season as well. So they are back before they take another break till end of August, racing in Zandvoort. So they have a lot of big breaks. But for this weekend, similar to F2 and F3, free practice and qualifying will take place on Friday. Saturday will be race 1, and then Sunday will be race 2. I believe race 1 on Saturday will be about 5 o'clock, and then on Sunday it will be around close to 8 in the morning UK time, around 7:45 in the morning, because there's a lot of races going on the Sunday. If you're not familiar as well how the grid is set, the first fastest time will be your race 1 grid, and then your second fastest time will be the race 2 grid. Both races equal the same amount of points given. There's no sprint feature kind of divide. It's just said race 1 and race 2. Both of them will be 16 laps or by timed as well, which is could be the case given that there's so many different racing going on. I believe Porsche Super Cup is also racing in Barcelona this weekend as well. So I don't know how they're handling all of that. And God forbid if there's any red flags or delays or weather delays. It'll be an interesting one to see. They raced last season, actually, at Barcelona, because again, it is quite a iconic track for them. They've done around 4 rounds of testings over the last 2 seasons, or even 5 rounds over the last 2 seasons. However, this is the first time F1 Academy is partnered with F1 calendar. They raced, even though they raced last season, they actually raced, I believe, the same time F1 was in Zandvoort, if I remember correctly, at the time. Currently, the fastest lap is set by Lena Buller, which was for the ART last year with a 140.870. Last year as well was a different format. They actually had three races that took place, so it's really going to be difficult to do any kind of predictions, I think. But the looking at the results was they did two qualifyings as well. So again, very different to how it currently is set up. Qualifying one was Emily De Huss with the fastest time, and then Lena Buller was the fastest in qualifying two. Race one podium was Emily De Huss with Abby Pulling P2 and Marta Garcia in P3. Race two was Amda Kubasi in P1, Marta Garcia P2, and Abby Pulling P3. And then for race three results, it was Lena Buller who converted the pole to the win, Hamda Al-Kubasi, and then Marta Garcia P3. Currently, the standings as well, after only two rounds, Abby Pulling leads with 99 points, followed by Doyan Pan with 65 points, Maya Wan with 51 points, Chloe Chambers 40 points, and Bianca Bustamante with 39 points. This is going to be fun. I can't wait to hear your predictions because you've not done an episode where we cover F1 Academy predictions because it's only just been me solo previewing it. So can't wait to hear your reactions, Tom, and your predictions.
I'm going to lay down an Uno reverse card and I don't have any because I have absolutely no information to go off of.
Just take a guess. I gave you the standings. I gave you the previous historical wins. It doesn't mean anything now because things have changed and the layout's been changed, but just shoot in the dark. It's like Formula 3.
So going off what you just said, the layout's changed. The previous results mean nothing. So I'm going to plead the fifth.
Come on, it's the same as Formula 3. Just shoot in the dark. It won't count to the bets because I've been the only one that's been doing the F1 Academy one. It's just more a fun little take.
I really don't know. You know, I got like absolutely nothing to go off of because half the time I'm not even able to watch it live. I don't know. I say Abby Pulling, Emily De Huss, and Hamda Al-Kubasi.
Okay. Not bad.
I'm basing it on absolutely nothing.
Emily's not racing, but...
Well, there we go then.
Oh, no, she is racing. Sorry, she's just not done very well. She's currently P15 in the standings. That shows also my knowledge of it as well. I just want to double check before I give my predictions. Also, with the new season, obviously we have wildcard entries, and it does not look like it's been announced who is the wildcard entry for the Barcelona Grand Prix. That could change after the time of me recording it. It's currently the 16th of June. It's 5:45 p.m. We might get more announcements probably tomorrow or Wednesday, or if there is none as well. They don't have to always enter a wild card, but they can if they would like to. I think pole will be Doyen. Maybe not actually, because I believe she might be actually out due to the injury she suffered a couple weeks ago, which also took her out of Le Mans that took place last weekend. So I'm going to change it. I think Nerea Marti will take pole, home race, a podium for one of the races, Abby Pulling, Nerea Marti, and Tina Hossmann. She's not had the best race career so far, so I'll give it to that. But, I mean, it is, again, a pick and mix when it comes to F1 Academy now so far, because anything can change. We've seen more mechanical issues and actual driver faults with a lot of the DNFs this season so far, so... should be good. Obviously, again, the new layout, very different from the historical information from before. But yeah, I mean, that's... we've kind of run through the three different support shows. Briefly spoke a little bit about Le Mans. Obviously, we might do a episode later on about that. Obviously, Indy 500 might do just a Triple Crown episode, depending on time also. Maybe in the breaks. But at the moment, again, we have this episode. It's the start of the Triple Headers. We got more content coming out these next 3 to 4 weeks. And then we go back to another almost double triple header in July as well. So that'll be fun, where it'll be more F2 and F3 compared to obviously F1 Academy, which is not racing until Zandvoort on the 23rd of August. But yeah, so Formula Talk Season 2 is available on YouTube where episodes are posted. Just search Formula Talk on YouTube to keep up to our 2024 season. If you've been a listener to our show so far, you also know that we are the sister show of Grid Talk. You can find our back catalogs and their episodes on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Good Talk to find all the episodes. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon. We'll play more content. We will be reviewing Barcelona and previewing Austria. Austria. Got confused if it was either going to be Austria or Silverstone. They both start with an S in my head. So, Spielberg. So, we'll be previewing Austria and reviewing Barcelona. Thank you very much for listening to Formula Talk, presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.